Welcome to our discussion of Parshat Shoftim, the folly of kingship. If we look at the institution of the notion of monarchy within the Parshat of Shoftim, we discover that the Torah seems more negative than positive about the notion of the king. Yes, it says that you can surely appoint a king among you, but it's only if the people ask for one. It's sort of a tentative mitzvah. Also, there's so much that the king should not do, and almost nothing that he should do. He cannot have too many horses. He cannot have too much gold. He cannot have too many wives. What should he do? Well, he should read the Torah. But whatever his mandates as a king. So it seems that we're more wary of the king than we are positive and hopeful for it. Much ink has been spilled. Much has been written. Barbanel, particularly interested in this question of whether it's positive or negative. I'd like to add a couple of pieces to it. Firstly, Hashem seems to agree with Shmuel that the institution of kingship is deeply problematic. When Shmuel is very upset with the notion of asking for king, Hashem says, "Ki oti ma'asu imloch aleihem," that they are rejecting, not only are they rejecting Shmuel to be the king, they are rejecting God from being the king. Of course, some have suggested that this is only a matter of timing. It's when they ask for king. But nonetheless, one has to raise that question. Now, it is true that later God makes a covenant with David. So it seems that God is ready to jump in with full enthusiasm to endorse David as a king forever. So things that may indicate some more positive change. Also, the notion that Shaul, the King Saul, is immediately rejected. He becomes king and then he's not king. And everyone wonders, is he so bad? One strike, you're out. I mean, what happened? David seems to have done as many sins as Saul did. It's a famous question. And one might suggest that the Shaul is there to exemplify the whole notion that kingship itself is an impossibility. Just as when the rabbis say that when they started to inaugurate the Beit HaMikdash, the doors wouldn't open. The fire didn't come down, because it's impossible to make a house for God. So too, one might suggest that as soon as you try to have a king, it didn't work. Just to show them that, although, yes, God will allow the institution to exist, perhaps forever, but in its essence, there's something corrupt about it, there's something negative about it, and therefore the very first king, as an exemplar of the impossibility, the folly of kingship, he is going to fail. Now, when it comes to David, we say, well, let's look at the book of Shmuel as a test of this whole notion of kingship. We're going out of the book of Shoftim, a period of great failure. Ish kol yashar bein av yaseh, everyone's just doing whatever they want. There's ein melech b'Yisrael, there's no king. To a book of Shmuel, where Shmuel is a great leader, and he appoints Shaul, and then David, in a very clunky kind of way, then succeeds Shaul. So, what is the book as a whole? Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Bet, the whole book. What does it say? How did it turn out? Did they live happily ever after? What's going on? So here we turn to two stories. The rabbinic way of looking at it, and in the Tanakh itself. The Midrashic Agadic story is the amazing story of Yishbi Benov. For those who are not familiar, just one of the most exciting stories in the Agadah, in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tzadi Hei, Amun Aleph, 95a. And there we have a story of this great giant, who's mentioned in the end of Shmuel Bet, who tried to kill David. And God actually says to David, what do you want? I'll give you a choice. You can either have no children, or you can fall in the hands of the enemy. So he says, I don't want my children not to fall, I would rather fall in the hands of the enemy. So Yishbi Benov is a great giant. He throws David up in the sky, getting ready to spear him as he comes down. David says the name of God. He's stuck up in the air. Avishai comes to save him, as it indicates in the psukim there. And he says the name of God, brings him down, destroys the enemy Yishbi Benov, and David lives happily ever after. But the Gemara says, But we just said that either David will have no more children, or he will be handed in the hands of the enemy. Well, since Avishai saved him from the hands of the enemy, then he have to lose his children, to lose his eternal covenant with God to have kings. So the Gemara says, yes, in a way that sort of did happen, because in the days of Ataliah and Yoash, there were many, many sons who were killed. Only one left. In some ways, that was fulfilled. There was almost no one left for that moment among David's children. So from a rabbinic point of view, a Haggadic point of view, the book kind of ends there in chapter 23 there. The book ends with this story. It's not the very last story, but it's a final story in this book in which David cannot go out because David is almost killed. In other words, there's a near miss. David nearly is killed by Yishbi Benov. And the people have to say in chapter 21, they tell David, please don't go out to war anymore. You can't do it anymore. You're not going to make it. Somehow he lost that magic. Lo techabed ner Yisrael. Don't put out the light of Israel, the ner Yisrael, the ner Israel. Don't put it out. So don't go out to fight. David somehow almost doesn't make it. In the end of the book, this idea that someone could dare to be the king of Israel, to possess the malchut of God, to wear a crown of majesty in this world. Yes, human beings can possess malchus, grandeur, splendor, kingship, but no, they can't. In a way, there's sort of an impossibility of someone being king. And that's the rabbinic story, is the idea that no, there was a near miss here. Really, in some ways, the end of the story should have been that Yishbi Benov would have taken him and David would not exist, or that his children wouldn't exist. It almost can't be. In the book itself, in the book of Shmuel, we have another story that actually ends the book, and that is that God put in his mind to count the Jews, and there was a plague, and the Beit HaMikdash had to come and to be bought in order. The place of the Mikdash, the place of the temple, was bought to counter the plague. In other words, basically, with David as a king, naturally you'll have haughtiness, you'll have pride, and you'll have counting, oh, how many Jews do we have, what a big country we have, what a big success we are. And with that, with pride comes Lifnei Shever Gaon, you have a downfall. And the book basically ends in saying that it's impossible. You can't have a king and not have a downfall. There should be a plague and the people shouldn't survive. But we have a Beit HaMikdash. And the Beit HaMikdash, which itself is an impossibility, to have a house, we should build a house for God. But we have a temple and that place that was bought. And because of that place, we can have atonement. In other words, the Beit HaMikdash can only be built by a king. So you have to have a king. But on the other hand, yeah, the whole need for the Beit HaMikdash, part of it is to atone for this very notion of having a king, that there next to the Beit HaMikdash is a palace of somebody who thinks he's the king, but God is really the king. The Beit HaMikdash is an atonement for the flaw, the folly of kingship, that really, how can you have a king altogether? So the book ends on the notion that well, with sacrifice, with atonement, there can be a king, there can be an element of gava, of haughtiness, held by human being, where he holds a position of king, which is really God's role. And with atonement, this folly can coexist with the existence of a king, kingship for human being. But it's a problem, but we have atonement, and that's how the book ends. So what does the book of Shmuel say about kingship? It's just barely a possibility. It's an impossibility, but somehow it can occasionally exist, and we find it brief moments, flares with moments during David's time, Solomon's time, Yoshiahu, Chizkiyahu, moments of Yoash, where we find righteous kings, and the idea that human being could actually possess malchut, a reflection of the kingship of God. But in the end, it does lead to haughtiness, and man is essentially flawed, and without atonement, it would be impossible to imagine that you could have a king. This paradox, have a king, but we can't have a king, it's the interesting topic of this week's Parsha, interesting topic of the book of Shmuel and the book of Malachim, book of Kings. It's an interesting question of today, how you can have a government. Government is essentially a flawed institution. If someone who tries to lead the Jews, how do we lead in these times, difficult times? What do you do with Hamas and Gaza and ISIS? And what do you do? Who has the great wisdom to answer all these questions? We try, we do our best. In the end, with a little forgiveness from God, a little atonement, hopefully we can make it through. Thanks for joining us here at the Anshei Sfar Bethel Emeth Congregation for a discussion of Parshat Shoftim. Join us each week for the discussion of Parsha, How to Judaism. We have a series on Jewish for Dummies. Thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. Thank you.